Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Anthony and Jim Show starts right now.
All right, whatever. Yeah, it's recording. We're good. We're being recorded. That's all. What a fucking... thanks, Jim. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
How was that place, the dojo? I hear it's great.
It's great. It's awesome. I just filmed my comedy special there.
You did?
Yeah, it holds like 120 people. Morris Plains, New Jersey, above a restaurant. They did it. It's like a... it's almost like the Comedy Cellar upstairs, and they have it set up perfect, dark in there, seats right on top, a little room. It's awesome. Sam Tripoli owns part of it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So, it's a hot room in Jersey, you know, so I go there and do sets all the time, and I just figured I'd do a comedy.
Jersey has an amazing comedy, kind of, a lot of clubs, but do you think it's kind of like the Mafia, the New York clubs are like, and the Jersey clubs, they're kind of like, I know you probably don't want to say it, but.
No, what? I don't know if there's really a competition between the two.
Yeah.
Because you got to be in New York, you know, to make it. You can't, no one's going to see you.
Proving my point. Yeah. Everyone's like.
Well, I had wanted to switch. I was at work in Jersey clubs, and I wanted to go to, because one club owner made me look like, hey, if you come over here, the clubs love us. And then I went over there, and the guy goes, who are you? Carmine.
Carmine. Hey, Carmine.
But when we started, me, Jim, and Eric McMahon, another comic, we'd come in all the time, like 3-4 days a week, and just hang out in the clubs, just to be seen, just to hang out. We weren't even getting on stage. Nobody knew who we were.
We would meet at like 9:30 at a rest area.
Yeah,
Well,
Jim was there early for some reason. Yeah. I'm like, why are you here an hour early?
Exactly. And whose drill is that?
Is he
why are you coming out of that guy's car over there in the corner?
But remember, we would meet at like 9:30 on the parkway and drive in. The three of us would just drive in and fucking hang out and feel like losers. It was 1995. We were 5 years in. It was fun.
Oh my God.
And then, you know, like no one knew who we were, but then we met, Voss knew us. So Voss introduced us to Colin. Colin's the one who really helped us get in the clubs.
Yeah.
Colin's like, look, these dirtbags are from New Jersey. Give them a shot. He didn't even know if we were funny or not. And then Rich Francesi was another guy helped us. You know, he took a liking to us, and that's how we got in. But it was just walking in, just hanging out. Sometimes, like 2 a.m, there was a guy at the comic strip, this guy Lucian. He would just babble. We'd be there at like 3 a.m. He's just babbling, and we're just, yeah. And then never getting on stage, nothing. Like, is this really worth it?
But
eventually, we broke through.
Doing that now?
Like, no, I know.
We were just talking about that outside. Like, comedy, the road comedy. It's a young man's game.
Yeah.
It really is. It's tough. Like, I see you guys, I look online, I'll see where you guys are going to be, and it's just still fucking Washington State and then Florida. Yep. And I'm just like, I don't like the short flight from South Carolina to here. I can't imagine you guys. And then you look at the dates, and it's like, oh, look, you got one day to hang out in the fucking shitty hotel room. It's a hell of a life you guys have eked out for yourselves.
I'm at a point now where I'm actually traveling with my own curtain. So if the room is half sold, I have something I can hang up. But you know what? Like anything else, like anything you like, there's always a downside to it. Like, you know what I mean? No matter how much you like the girl you're fucking, it's like there's something.
But you don't seem to care, especially young guys. Like they want to be. It's cool to play shitty clubs and travel. And, you know, fuck around with your friends till 3 a.m. and shit like that. But you reach a point where it's like the whole gist of stand-up comedy being on the road isn't for someone that's been doing it for years and years. You're kind of just like, I want to be home. I want to be with, you know, I got a family or shit. It just, the dynamic seems to change.
I think though, once you get up on stage after all of that, whatever
right,
it is,
right, there you go,
and you get those laughs from that audience, no matter how long you've been doing it, it's worth it.
Yeah,
you know the bands always say the 23 hours a day suck, the 1 hour is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That they're on a bus with four or five. We're traveling by ourselves, so we don't have to bunk with nine roadies and three band members and their girlfriends on a bus.
People you've had a problem with for 25 years.
Oh, yeah. Imagine that, right, in a little bus. We're by ourselves, which is it's not too good to being isolated all the time, being in a hotel room for 3 days.
I love it.
When you're married, when you're married, you just can't wait to get on that plane. Like, I'm out of town.
Oh, right. Oh. Well, there's part of it too.
Shoot a text, love you. I'm at the hotel, and it's just here for me till the next day. It's just edging alone, Uber Eats, eating pretzels, fucking dipping them in mustard, and tugging.
What a life.
Yeah.
Because the bands do that too. You're seeing a lot of these. A lot of these old guys getting out there and doing it. And a lot of the comments you see on social media are, why the fuck is he doing this? His voice is shot. You know, the band sucks. But I guess that's part of it. Like, it's hard to give up.
It's weird, though, because I see all these. I've been to a bunch of shows this summer. I've been going for years. But, like, these bands that have all the hits. Like, you know you're going to kill every show.
Right.
Is there a challenge to that? And if some of them are lip-syncing, like a lot of them are.
Oh, it's pathetic.
Right, they're singing to... What they do is they record, like, a show early on in the tour, and then they lip-sync off of that.
So it's not the record. It's like a backup. Like
right. Yeah. And they'll sing off of that. But, like, I would think to myself, would I get on a plane and go to Washington State to lip-sync my jokes when I know they're going to kill? Like, I need a challenge, a bombing.
Yeah,
And am I going to get a laugh here and stuff like that? I still need that adrenaline
rush. That sounds like the financial end of it. Like, there's guys I'm sure that just want the rush of being on stage in front of people doing their shit. But then if you're lip syncing, what's in it for you?
I would love to lip sync my fucking act. Oh, that'd be great. And then pipe in the better audience's sound.
No, but seriously, how would you feel on that? Like, you know,
terrible, yeah. Cause knowing what the reaction you're going to get.
You know you're going to kill. Like, this bit's going to get, standing over. Everyone's going to go crazy and stuff. I don't know. I just couldn't. And you want to do the new stuff. Like, you see these bands, they want to do the new stuff, and nobody's responding to it.
No one cares.
Nobody even knows it. And it's got to be in the right set list. Like, I just saw Lynyrd Skynyrd. They did, like, four obscure songs in a row, and they lost the crowd for a little bit. And I was saying they should have worked that set list
better. Freebird, motherfucker.
Well, they saved that for the end, but they should have worked it better. Like, put the new one, then it all one, new one, old one, like that, instead of four in a row.
People will ride out, but there's nothing that makes you want to piss more than when someone's like, all right, we're coming off the new album. You're like, all right, I'll go to the bathroom and come back. I don't care about this song at all. I feel bad for singers, though. Like, they have a certain... When they can't sing anymore, I'm very tolerant of that. Like, you know, Ozzy would sometimes crack, and it actually sounded better at the end of his life than he did, like, in the fucking late 80s, early 90s. But I was always okay with that. Like, I don't mind, like, Elton John I'm still standing.
You do give some guys some leeway for being old. But someone like David Lee Roth, I mean, look, everyone loved Diamond Dave and Van Halen. But seeing what he's been doing lately, and he had to cancel a bunch of his gigs. A lot of people are, like, canceling because I don't think they could do it anymore. You want to see Dave, that's fine. But you are not seeing him doing Panama the way you remember hearing Panama.
Might as well step.
I always stick up for Dave.
I know you
I love
do.
Him.
Always.
I know.
We love him. Look,
I got a special place in my heart for Dave.
I know.
You know, I saw him on the last tour about a year and a half ago. On a scale of 1 to 10, it was like a 7.5.
Yeah.
He has all the backup singers singing with him, too. But
he's got the black guys singing for him. All the harmony.
Which is weird.
I was calling him Van Harlem.
I know. It was like four. Because they're like thugs up there. It's not like skinny black guys that know how to sing.
They sing great harmonies. It sounds good Van Halen harmonies.
Right. It looks like guys would be hanging out in a corner during the wire
around
in Baltimore.
Burning 55-gallon drum.
But there was always backup vocals with Michael Anthony Eddy. So that was a big part of it. Dave wasn't doing that. So... when you're at a show, it's different than when you watch it on a phone. The quality and stuff is definitely different.
Absolutely.
And when you have a few beers in
you're there,
it makes it.
And
it
you're
makes,
there.
Yeah.
He's there. I get that whole part of it. But, you know, you could see Sammy playing those songs, and, you know, he sounds pretty fucking good.
Yeah, well, look, Sammy's got a better voice, obviously, but Dave's got more charisma. I saw he does.
He's a loyal motherfucker, guy.
It was the same thing with Ozzy and Dio, like when those
I took
Ozzy's side, so that was it.
Although, I always, remember the Ozzy Dio fucking wars people would have, like, in high school, it mattered.
Oh, crazy.
People hated
I loved Dio. I thought he was fucking amazing.
Ozzy leaves Black Sabbath. I'm like 16 years old. I'm miserable because I like Ozzy. And they get Dio in the band, and they come out with that that album, Heaven and Hell, which is a great album.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is before Blizzard of Oz came out, Ozzy solo stuff, like 6 months before. I moved down to Florida. They're playing at some like a highlight place, Miami Arena or something like that, highlight. Me and my brother go, and it's Dio singing, and we're mad. So we stop off at some store, and we buy like a tablecloth, and we put a get a magic mark. We put, Ozzy is God. Dio must pray to him for forgiveness. Why? I don't know.
A little wordy for
a It's a very wordy song.
It was. But
and another thing.
Yeah. And then in parentheses, flip over.
So there's only like 1,000 people there. It's a general admission show. So we're in like the third row. And they come out and they start playing. I think they open with War Pigs. And I really thought Ozzy was still going to come out. I was that much of a fucking idiot. I go, maybe they're tricking us. Maybe Ozzy's going to come out. And meanwhile, Heaven and Hell album is already out. I'm a fucking idiot.
You ain't going to see Ozzy step out on that stage.
So Dio comes at a side where like Geezer stands, right? And we have put the banner up like this, and he goes like this, fuck you, because we're right in the third row. We put it up right
there. Yeah.
And then he goes to the side. Then he comes back like 5 songs later. We put it up again, and he's going like this, jerk, like pretend he's jerking off. He's like, fuck you guys, pointing. And he goes to the side of the stage to the bounce.
Oh,
he's like, those guys right there. Next thing I know, the two guys come, grab us by the shirt, me and my brother. My brother's like, you know, 18 at the time. I'm 16. They drag us backstage. They bring him in a room. I'm in the outside the room, and I'm like, what are you doing with my brother? They locked the door, some big guy bringing him in there, screaming at him. I'm like, what are you doing? I thought he was getting the shit beat out of him. He comes out like 2 minutes later, they throw us out the side door. We got kicked out of the show.
Holy shit, that's like some mob stuff.
25 years later,
he opened the door with his fucking head.
25 years later, Ronnie James Dio is doing an interview in some local thing when he's doing a show, and he goes, they go, is there any backlash, you know, replacing Oz? He goes, nah, it wasn't too bad. He goes, a couple things bother me, because I remember there was this banner one time about Ozzy is God. I got to pray to him. I can't remember what it said, but it really bothered me. It got under my skin 25 years later.
Wow.
You remember? And I was friends with him because he came on that metal show and with the lunch. I couldn't tell him face to face. That was me. Until he passed away, he never told the story on the air.
He probably would have loved it. Like, oh, this guy, I turned this guy around and became a huge fan.
Yeah, I know.
But like, you ever find out someone that used to hate you likes you? You're like, oh, all right, that worked out well.
I would have bit your ankles.
I didn't have the heart to tell him.
A little guy.
He certainly was.
Tiny.
He was a little fella. A little elf on
huge
the shelf.
Huge voice coming out of this little fucking guy.
And he was a great guy, too.
Yeah. We interviewed him a couple of times over the course of the years.
I was supposed to go to lunch with you and him and Rudy Sarzo in L.A., but I think my flight came in too late, and I wound up missing it. And he died not too long after that, but I really regret not going to that fucking lunch.
I saw a video online last night. It was Ozzy, and it was the Black Sabbath reunion in the 90s on David Letterman.
I think in 98 they did Paranoid.
It sounded fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, Ozzy sounded good. He was jumping around like a nut.
Yeah.
It's not so much that you remember, like, wow, that seems like Ozzy was in good shape. What happened so quickly? And then you realize, oh, no, 98 was fucking forever ago.
30 years ago.
30 fucking years.
That's crazy, right?
I cannot get past that shit sometimes.
No.
You see the year or something, you're like, oh, yeah, that was like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fucking 30 years went by. But, yeah, that was entertaining to watch. I like watching when an old Ozzy clip comes up.
I can't.
He was good.
All Ozzy and Sabbath are off of my, out of my Spotify. It's too depressing. Like, it'll come back around. I know it will. Yeah, I saw Ben Bailey last night, and he's a fucking Sabbath fanatic. And we were a Sabbath fanatic. Shut up. What am I talking about? Douchebag.
Fanatic.
I'm a fan.
That's where the word fan comes from, Jim.
It's short for fanatic.
Fanatic.
Oh, fagatic. That's my nickname.
Fagatic.
Short. But Ben, we were talking about, I turned him on to The Rebel, which is an unreleased Sabbath song, and Ozzy doing Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. You've heard that, of course.
Yeah.
I love that. But I just told him I can't listen to them.
Eric Burden song was that?
Somebody else covered and Ozzy just sang the chorus, but it's too depressing to listen to right now.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite of what a performer would have wanted. He'd want you to listen to him after he was dead.
Isn't that funny? Like, people watch you, you're alive and you're depressing.
They're waiting. As soon as I'm dead, they'll listen to me and cheer. They won't even laugh. They just think I'm so happy this voice has been shut up. This fucking stupid mouth is finally closed and not full.
I was livid on the way here. I'm still like sweating. There's no way New York City should shut roads down. You fucking can't in this city, when the roads are all open, it sucks. And then I'm on my way here in a cab, and of course, you know, and then the cab goes, you have to get out. We cannot get there. And I was thinking, like I was saying to you earlier, what if I was from Kansas and a cab just kicks you out somewhere because this road is closed and now you're supposed to get another cab? And so I ended up walking here. I'm sweating like a fucking, the FBI is looking at my hard drive.
I think the cab driver knew your background.
Yeah. Maybe that was.
He did a Google search.
First time he looked in the rearview mirror, he's like, you got to walk. Get out.
What did he say when he was taking pictures in Times Square?
The photos Times Square. Photos Times Square. The racist.
Yeah, but it's like, and then I get to where the road is closed, and they're having some bicycling festival. So the roads are completely closed. You cannot get on this side of Manhattan here. And they're just, everyone's smiling, riding their bikes. I want to go butt through with a bunch of fucking dowels, thick dowels for their, fucking spokes. One of the greatest things ever. You learn that so young. One right in the front fucking wheel.
Is there anything better than when you watch like the Tour de France and when one bike gets hit and six guys will pile up on him and
fantastic.
Fall?
Fantastic.
What was it a few years ago? Didn't someone run out with a sign and knock one of the bike people over?
Yeah, there's morons that go, they want to hand like a cup of water to somebody and they stand out in the middle of the road and... Yeah, it's a chain reaction. They just all go tumbling.
Would you like to have put a dowel in one of their spokes?
Oh, yeah. Nothing more than watching him do an endo. That would just be fantastic. Yeah, so it's just like, what is with this fucking city? New York can't have, like, fun things. It's a place of business.
That's right.
Even on a Saturday, you can't have... fucking running and biking and the street festivals, Dominican Day and this day... It's a fucking place of business.
Especially with this, it's packed, the city, with summer tourism and stuff. People from all over the world, and every street is closed down. There's cops everywhere. And I know it took me a while to get in here, too,
I see them in the tourists in Times Square with their kids. And I just look like, what are you doing? Do you know they're still pulling that CD scam where the guys will come up and go, yeah, man, my rap CD. What's your name? And the guy's like, Kenneth. And the guy will sign Kenneth and go, here you go. He goes, oh, thanks. And then, hey, a little something for the autograph. A little something. Like, who the fuck even has CD players anymore?
I do, and I want to go get one in Times Square. I want to meet the new artist. Can I have a picture with you,
fun
sir?
Twist. There's nothing on the CDs,
oh,
Jimmy.
Oh, no.
Yes, fun twist.
Where you take a picture with Elmo or those fucking weird characters, and they they threaten. Like,
The cast of fucking Apocalypto are under those heads. Let's be real here. Give me a fuck break.
Running Jaguar.
Hi. All right, let me put the head back on. That kid is so cute. Let's take a picture. No, it's fucking, you know.
Yeah, they threaten you. You have to pay them something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But didn't they crack down on that? Like,
maybe they did under, you know, Giuliani, absolutely. De Blasio, not so much.
Yeah.
Bloomberg. And then Adams, this guy, Mamdani, he don't give a fuck.
You like De Blasio?
He was one of my favorite. De Blasio.
Can I tell you what I
respect? Commie fuck. He went to fucking the Soviet Union for his honeymoon.
Do you know what I respect about De Blasio?
He probably got a good deal.
Nice hotel.
His ex-wife is a black lesbian in school. Do you know what a swinging dick you have to be to convert a black lesbian into marrying a white guy? I'm telling you, Bill De Blasio is probably the fuck of the century.
You think he's got a good?
He's a big, giant, arrogant fucking.
Or do you think it's like an open marriage thing? You know,
even if it was, first of all, to get her to fuck a black lesbian is not the type who's going to date a tall, lanky, fucking white guy.
That's true.
And he pulled it off, and he fucked her so well. She's like, yeah. You got me. I'll never look at another pussy. And then after all these years, she's finally like, I kind of miss pussy. And she went back to it, I think.
Yeah, if you can convert a lesbian.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've lost a couple to lesbians.
Have you? That's not good.
I know. Yeah. There was a couple of them.
When you turn them.
Yeah.
But don't you feel better, though, that they're not like, it's not like they want a better cock than yours. They're like, I just want to go and I'm into women. Like, I couldn't have competed with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, when they tell you the truth, you couldn't satisfy me. It hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather be a bigger dick.
But to be honest, I knew that to begin with. Right. I didn't think it was I knew I wasn't satisfying her. I know what I lose my heart on.
I did convert, not convert, but just she liked being with me. And I don't think it was so much sexual as...
So what did you convert her out of guy. Down syndrome?
You don't know how good that big giant tongue feels.
Wait, why did she want to be with you? Why
because
you
I was
that should be the
nice.
Whole question, right? No, yeah. No, that's the question. Yeah. Why does she want to be with you?
That's just a blanket question for anybody knows me.
I want to meet a grown man that still plays video games.
Yeah.
That argues with 12-year-olds. I shot him first.
Yeah.
No, but why did she want to be with you? Like, what
because
was
I was just like a nice guy. I was like, not nice like a friend zone nice guy. We would do things.
Right, okay.
Like go out and hang out and shit like that. And
you were fun.
And then we would have our sexual intercourse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, yeah, this is good. This is fucking nice. It's fun.
Matching one with the other, like when you with someone, it's like when the fucking is really good and the personality, like,
yeah.
Because usually it's one or the other. There's always some kind of trade-off. But when both are good, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And that's rare, you know.
Yeah.
At the beginning, you can't judge a relationship off the beginning of the relationship.
No, everyone's on their best behavior.
And that's something that's been talked about for millennia, I'm sure, between men and women and men, friends. That beginning phase is you cannot use that to see if your relationship is going to last or you get along, because it's the greatest shit in the world at the beginning. And then maybe not so much.
Yeah, well, they, you know.
Then $1 million of your own money are flying into a lawyer's hands.
Well, you guys built it together.
Yeah.
You guys built it together.
She and you helped build what you have. She should share in the success both of you have.
Dominic Barbara, my ex-wife's lawyer many years ago, and I was just like, what do you want? What do you want to get both of you fucks out of my life?
I was going on NEW at that point. It was the afternoon show, and I didn't know you guys that well. But I remember going through that, and you used to call her Wendy because you weren't allowed to say her name.
Yeah, her name, yeah.
What there was one thing that finally you went, all right, I'm done, let's just do it. What was it that made you finally go, fuck this, let's wrap it up?
It was the first day of testimony in court. The first day. And the New York Post and the Daily News guys were in the gallery. And Dominic calls me on the stand. First he goes,
what's your anniversary, your wedding anniversary?
And I'm like, you motherfucker, he's going to make me seem like I'm a piece of shit.
You didn't know it.
Doesn't remember the date. And I was a piece of shit who didn't remember the date. You know what? My excuse was, it was May 19th.
Right.
And I said March 19th, because March 19th in San Juan Capistrano was Swallows Day. And it was a big day of drinking and horseback riding. And I confused the two. I confused my wife with a horse.
or with swallowing.
Yeah, if it was Spitter's Day,
right?
Now that would have been an issue.
Then you would have remembered.
Yeah, yeah. But so we get there, and now Dominic goes,
so when did and who decided you were going to share your marital bed with another woman?
And I'm just seeing the Daily News guy like, so I'm like, can we have a little conference here?
Right.
In the back room, sat down with my lawyer, Dominic, and my ex-wife, their soon-to-be ex-wife. And I just went, all right, make me a fucking offer. Make me an offer. And it was $1 million paid out over 9 years.
Wow.
So, well, you know, yep.
Also at that time, you know, Dominic Barber was friends.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It was with Howard at the
time. Oh, yeah.
And I was on the Howard
show.
I was on Stern at that time, and I knew Dominic because Dominic would come to the comedy shows.
Loaded
and stuff.
Attorney.
So you know that he was really gunning for Anthony because of that rival that was going on.
Oh, yeah.
So he stuck it to you extra hard.
Oh, he knew, like, Howard would love watching me squirm. And he, like, in court, he'd be like, Anthony, do the impression of me. And he'd be the judge. Watch this. Watch. I'm like, all right, he's degrading me. I'm a performing
seal.
Did
you do it?
Of course. I was trying to, save, trying to save a few shekels.
Right.
10,000 less a month.
Wonk, honk, honk, honk.
Wait, so you only went on a stand for a couple minutes and then you just settled it right there?
It was literally 5 minutes and, I was like, I can't take the heat. It was like an old Perry Mason episode.
Right.
Yes, I did it. I did it and I do it again.
Did you guide your wife to lick a vagina? I'll settle.
Because yeah. I didn't want to get into the gory details.
Right, yeah. Imagine the next one. Right. So, Anthony, how many times a day do you say the N-word? On average. Oh, you didn't even get to that yet.
Now you're finally something I could be proud of in this testimony.
It's just one long letter all day.
You know, that is a grave misconception. I just have to say it. I don't use that word on air. I don't use it on my show unless it's literally quoting a story or something. It's necessary to say in that way. But I've never used it in anger. I've never used it to get at someone.
In traffic,
a story
you never,
I'm pissed
never...
at. Everyone thinks... Traffic.
Or
those
count.
Video games you speak of. Yeah.
Right.
Or watching sports. None of those things.
Do you know what every person is that shoots me in Battlefield 6?
Wait, so a kid's father?
Well, that doesn't fit the fit the old stereotype. No, it's just that's what my rep has been so long. And people I've done shows with are way more fucking crazy with using not only that, but other slurs and bad language. You know, I was saying to you earlier, I am the last motherfucker out of this whole group of people we've known in broadcasting, podcasting and stuff that is on FM or AM FCC regulated terrestrial radio. Yeah. I'm the only one. And that's fucking weird because... You know, you'd think I'd be the guy that wouldn't be trusted with
if there was a
broadcasting license.
Like if that was on DraftKings, the odds of Anthony Cunha being
it
on
wasn't going to be.
Or terrestrial radio.
Is it Kalshi or whatever that they do these weird bets?
Yeah. The prop bets or not prop bets. Yeah, what do they call it?
They're like real life situations.
That would have been like Anthony put $5 on and win $5,000.
Yeah, yeah. Those would be the odds.
He's the fucking long. It's like in a horse race. Like whatever.
I wasn't. I was, you know, that's kind of why I had to come up with Compound Media. I was damaged goods. At that time, 2014, there was no fuck way I was getting a gig on anything. So I'm like, you know, I got the Keith the Cop was like, you got a studio in your basement.
Yeah.
Fucking do something. I go figure out, you know, he figured out the logistics and how to get that out to a shitload of people. I'm like, yeah, this worked. And then that became like the thing for everyone to do, whether they were in trouble or not.
Yeah.
So, you know, I never pat myself on the back, but I think I was kind of at the forefront of a lot of that shit, especially the video portion of podcast. Everyone had like an audio podcast, but having a studio, cameras, a set like that, it was, people weren't really doing that that much.
Do you think putting it behind a paywall might have hurt? Like
it
you would have got more
I
people watching? Right, because you had to have an income
coming
in.
Podcasting back then wasn't as lucrative in 2014.
Right.
It would have taken a while.
Yeah. There wasn't really a way to monetize things like YouTube. There wasn't super chats and all this other stuff that you can make money off of now. And also, you know, how was I going to do the show I wanted to do on YouTube? That would have been canceled. Every platform had very strict rules as to what you couldn't and couldn't say. And I was kind of, you know, I wanted to continue doing a fucking crazy show. And that was the only way I could do it. I don't think it hurt. I think a lot of what would have hurt is if I would have apologized and, you know, oh, yeah, please. And my fan base would have been like, oh, this fucking sap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it helped because people wanted to support the guy that was thrown off of fucking every platform of broadcasting. And you know,
and it was only like $7 a month because I subscribed.
Yeah, yeah, it was cheap. It was like, you know, and a lot of people, like I said, they paid just to support me.
Yeah,
which was awesome.
Did you bring a lot more subscribers in when Artie joined the show? When Artie Lang joined the show?
When Artie joined the show, we did. We did. Artie was he generated some subs, but like I was the guy that could handle Artie in that way because I didn't care. You know, a lot of people were like, "Fucking Artie didn't show up today" and stuff. I'm like, it's Artie. It's the Scorpion and the Frog.
That was some of the greatest radio shows with you and Artie together.
Dude, I was just chit-chatting with a certain Chris Hansen. And I'm trying to get him on my ABC show because that movie's coming out and stuff.
What'd you tell him? Hey, the pizza's cold.
Yeah. Said, the sweet tea that girl brought me the other day wasn't quite sweet enough.
By the way, they're doing a movie now.
Yeah. And, Yeah, it looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, I don't need an action film with fucking Chris Hansen. It's very bizarre.
Chris Hansen. Why don't you have a seat over there? Now, you said, I want to have sex with you. He's fucking awesome. But we still talk about the time Artie was so fucked up. And he sat there, and I had Chris on. And I'm asking Chris questions. And then he just, Artie looks at him and goes, so what, you fuck kids or something? You fuck kids? And I'm like, oh, I'm so fucking sorry, Chris. And Chris is kind of laughing, but Artie wouldn't stop. And I'm talking, and Artie's just phased out. And then you just go, so you fuck kids?
Like, was he under the influence or just tired? Maybe he was just tired.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen Artie just tired. There's a hotel next to the studio on 35th that we used to do Compound in. And we kind of had a deal there, you know, where we could put up guests and shit like that. And Artie would always go there. Sometimes halfway through the show, he'd disappear and he'd be at that hotel. We got a call. Keith got a call from the hotel, said, that guy cannot stay in our hotel anymore. And Keith asked why. And they said, the maid went into the room and there was blood everywhere. Like the sheets, the curtains, his fucking nose had bleeding profusely. And I guess he was just rolling around on the bed, passed out. And then he's wiping his hands on the curtains. So it looked like a murder scene. They're like, no, that guy cannot be here.
I hear he's doing well now.
I hear that too. I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
He's the only like drug addict, pain in the ass guy that people continue to adore. You usually get to a point where everyone goes, yeah, I tried, but fuck that guy. Everyone still pulls
everybody
for Artie
roots for him.
Him.
I miss him, and you know, yeah, just being around him and stuff. But if he ever came back, he would be huge.
Huge. But would that put him over the edge?
I don't know.
He's supposedly been clean for quite some time.
A few years,
with the legality of it, he had to piss test all the time, drug test. And if he would have failed one, they were putting him right back in jail. Since he hasn't been in jail, you could kind of assume he hasn't been doing drugs. I would hate to see it because I went on a gig with him down in Jersey somewhere, and every motherfucker was handing him drugs. Hey, Artie, man, here, this is for you. Coke, weed, pills. It's like, what a bunch of fucking assholes.
No, because when he was on the Stern Show, he would say, like, come back. He's like, yeah, I'm sober. I've been sober for 20 days or whatever. And then I'd be opening for him on the road. And they're like, give this to Artie because they'd see me in the lobby. And they knew he was sober.
Motherfucker.
All the time. I mean, if I did drugs, I would have had a bunch of shit I could have taken home. I would just throw it in the garbage. I don't do that shit either.
Fucking assholes. You want a beer, Jim?
I do. he's got to like, just not meet people. Like, you got to do that thing. Like, when I do, Louis does shows. And it's not a drug issue. He's just like pride. He's like
CK.
Yes.
All right.
He doesn't meet anyone. Like, he'll just do the show, and at the end, he wants to just get in the van, go back to the hotel, and go over the set. Like, you just got to get in and get out, and don't fucking meet anybody.
He's a grump, isn't he?
He can be.
I love him.
I
love him. But
he can be a little grumpy. But he also is just like, as soon as you get in the van, he's just going over the set.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, that thing that worked. Like, it's like, you know that post-set thing you have where your brain is still firing? Yeah. So you're trying to...
He's like, in that way, like Seinfeld, you know, where everything is comedy, the show. You watch Seinfeld talk about things. He doesn't seem to have any other interest in life than a joke and how it's crafted and him being on stage. And like, that's his entire fucking passion. And, you know, I think it's done him well.
It's a $1 billion investment he made.
Yeah, yeah, not bad.
I had some other things and we saw what happened.
Yeah, maybe you could have...
My varied interests really haven't helped.
What I like about Louis, when he comes back to do a set, he'll start out in the worst comedy clubs. Like, I think he tells agent, find out what the shittiest clubs in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, and he'll do sets there to work on it.
Why would you want to do that?
That's where he starts.
Wow.
He's back doing sets already.
Is he?
Yeah, he was. He's been popping in and doing sets. Like, his last special was so good.
Yeah.
But it's like, then your brain still keeps coming up with stuff, and you're like, man, let this not do anything with this.
Ego a huge part of, or not having one?
I think you missed
a huge part.
I think
of comedy.
You missed the adrenaline rush getting up on stage and doing it. I've been taking a lot of time off this summer, and I feel like I need it. And then I'm jonesing. The other night I went to an open mic. I'm like, I got to get on stage. I need that.
Was Jimmy up first?
They didn't give me the light early. I was bombing, blinking. Who's this fucking blinking guy? Thinks he looks good because he lost weight.
Now, I love your clips from like the cellar and shit.
Yeah, I don't post.
enough stand-up, I should probably...
Did you just fart in your hand and smell it?
No. He did. No, what? No. I'm just...
Smell like cum?
Yeah, I was just trying to distribute it, but it's not strong.
All right.
It's not strong enough to distribute.
That's good.
It is gas digital.
But, yeah, sometimes you just miss it, man. It's like the high of fucking conquering a new person. Like, you're out with somebody you want to fuck, and you finally get that. But then a lot of times you're like, once you do it, you're like, all right, I'm good for a little while.
Yeah.
I did it.
The ego thing, I mean, like the lack of an ego, the ability to get up there and almost sometimes know it's not going to go well. The crowd's kind of shitty. Anybody with any kind of ego or so would probably try to figure out how to get out of it. But to just, you know, trudge through and go, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to probably bomb. And like your ego has to either take a hit or you don't have an ego.
You look at it, it's almost like a bad day at work, but it's over in 15 minutes of set in the city. Jim always made a great point. I remember him saying this. He goes, I'll go to the Comedy Cell where most people don't know who I am in the audience. And if my joke gets a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10, it's going to get an 8 or 9 on the road in front
of
my audience.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff that just want
to. So I love going to the stand because the stand is 22 to 30 year old kids have no idea who I am.
Yeah.
And so I know if the joke works or not, like in front of them. I want to do it in front of them.
They're not giving you a laugh because they already like you.
Because they love quarantine.
Right. So they expect it. So I like doing that. But Jim always made a good point with that, doing it in front of people that don't know you.
Yeah.
Well, I was at just to put a time frame on when we're taping this. I was at the Garden last night. I did a panel for Kill Tony.
The Olive Garden. I sold it out. We gave people breadsticks.
They were booing people. Badly. Like I was on a panel with Adam Ray, who they love. So they're fine with the panel guys. Like they're not dicks. But there were people going out and just saying like one word or two words. Oh, bravo. And they were booing fucking a lot.
And that's 17,000 people getting booed by. And you're young. You don't know what you're doing.
Wow.
Remember when I got booed off stage on TV?
It's my favorite on MTV. No, there's nothing I love more. What's with the chicks? What the devil with the chicks? Me and Levy would try to.
No.
It was the fucking greatest. Do you have that?
I can't find it. I wanted to bring it in when you were doing Jim and Sam at the time. Oof. I got it on a VHS somewhere. I've been going through my old VHS now.
VHS, yeah.
I was doing comedy like 2 years, and Paulie Shore maybe saw me in a comedy club. I can't remember how it happened. And he was doing like Spring Break down in like Daytona Beach.
Yeah, they always had him doing shit.
So he wanted me to come down and do a sketch with him. So I was like, yeah, fucking A. You know, and then the bit was I go up. I'm in the audience, and Paulie's up there doing like material, and I start heckling him. And he's like, oh, if you think you're so funny, you come up here and let's see what you could do.
Oh, shit.
So in front of his whole crowd, like 3,000 people, and then what the crowd was supposed to do was just laugh at everything I say.
Right.
Just go overlap it.
That's
and
then, the bit.
And Paulie gets mad and throws me off the stage. Well, right before we do the bit, the producer goes, look, we're not going to tell the crowd that you're a comic. And Paulie's like, no, man, that's not going to work. He goes, no, don't worry. It's going to go fine. So the crowd doesn't know. They love Paulie. I'm doing comedy like 2 years. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
No.
I maybe have like 12 minutes of material.
You were just set up for failure there.
Yeah, so he brings me up and I start fucking panicking because the first joke doesn't get a laugh. And then it was after that.
You're like, nothing.
What was the opening joke? Because people say, I look like a chick.
I think I said I got pulled over by a cop because I had hair down here.
Yeah, yeah.
I said I got pulled over by a cop and the cop came out the window and goes, you know why I pulled you over? I go, because I look like a chick. You know, it's just an opening line.
Yeah, right.
Because they're like, who
acknowledge
the fuck is
the
this
hair
guy? Acknowledge the hair and move on. And I thought that would get a big laugh. And
nothing.
And a half.
It was the panic, like, what's with the chicks? It was this weird pace. And it's I reveled in it so much. But back then, you couldn't just, I didn't have it recorded.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking couldn't
find it.
It's
got to be somewhere.
So it was like, it was the best as like Spring Break or whatever. It was a Spring Break, whatever. And then Mike Cutt made the best of Spring Break. And you remember MTV used to show that shit all the time?
Oh, yeah, it was on.
So it was probably on 100 times.
Oh, my God.
That segment would be bombing.
Yeah, it's somewhere.
And Paulie stuck up for me afterwards. He goes, you guys shouldn't have done that. I told you it wasn't going to work. You know, and like, oh, we'll sweeten up the audio in post.
Did they sweeten it?
Now you got it.
They added more booze to the post.
or it was unsweetenable.
Like we, yeah, I know. It's
like if somebody said, look, we're going to make it look like the Challenger actually went up.
Yeah.
There's nothing they can do. But it was so funny to watch your friend bomb it because we knew the circumstances. And we tried to find that. I could never track that fucking down.
That was the thing that horrified me when you guys started coming on the ONA show. Ew. At NEW was coming on. Was the laughing at each other bombing. I'm like, what are you doing?
Man.
Why would you fucking do this? Because you go to Caroline's or something. And Voss is up there, and Patrice is in the audience. Just shut up!
Oh yeah,
you shut up! I'm like, this isn't what I know of comedy. This was fucking crazy.
No, we loved doing that, especially like the Comedy Cellar back in the day. There was only like 8 people in the room.
Yeah,
they barely would get a crowd, so we would sit in the back. And, you know, and Jim would be on stage or Voss would be on stage. And after every joke, like, ooh,
brutal.
And then the whole crowd would do
it. Right, right.
Voss like, what's with that joke about my daughter? Like, ooh, and just yelling at the crowd.
Remember at Caroline's?
Just egging them on.
At Caroline's, there was a curtain Voss had. It was a Sunday night show.
Yeah.
He probably had a couple, 150 people. And Jim was on one side of the curtain and I was down at the other end. And every joke was like, oh.
Yeah. And Voss didn't know we were in the room. He couldn't see us. So we're on each side of the curtain.
No,
Oh, that's wrong. That's terrible.
And people would start going, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
He was fucking furious. Because you don't know where it's coming from. And you're like, how is this at the Strip? If I would go on like late night and there'd be a small crowd and I'd be bombing. I used to do a really, really brutal joke about a Little League uniform. And Jim would go like, hey, did you play baseball when you were a kid? He would just heckle from the audience.
Yeah, I'd heckle from the audience. I did it at the Comedy Cellar one time. He was having a good set. And I go, Jim, tell him about the Little League joke. And he's like, I go, and the crowd's like, what? And Jim's like, nah, I'm like, you guys got to hear his Little League joke. It's so funny.
No.
And it's like, come on, tell him. Come on, Jim, tell. He goes, nah, because he knew the punchline. And the crowd, I'm like, come on, get him going. Like, come on, tell it. And the joke was like, his dad always coaches Little League team, and they always sucked. And one year they finally won the championship. So me and my dad wanted to celebrate, so we pulled into the woods in his car, and he jerked me off.
No, I said we jerked off together.
That was then. It got a zero. His set went
of
from
course.
A 10 to a 0 because they were expecting, like, what's this big joke? And me and my dad jerked off.
I said we got in the car, drove to the woods, and jerked off together.
Yeah.
And then it was, and he kept leaning in saying, shh, don't take off the uniform. Yeah, I like it.
Sometimes the true stories aren't that funny.
Wow. Yeah, that would really lose them. I don't think I was ever able to pull that one off.
No. Because I've heard that. Same kind of thing used in some other jokes and stories you've told. And the worst was the cum going over the top of the hand and then the,
one of my ex-girlfriends, I used to fucking torture her. I go, what would you do if you walked downstairs and me and your dad were sitting on the couch and we were just jerking each other off? And both of our pants were only pulled down to our knees. And then as he came, it bubbled over my knuckles and he put his face in my neck and went, she goes, that was the worst part of it.
That was horrible.
She never thought it was funny. She's the one ex who won't talk to me.
I remember he had a joke when he first started. He goes, I forget what the setup was. He goes, but I built a diving board over my sister's hamper. I'm like, I like this guy. Like, that was the first thing I heard out of his mouth. I go, I got to hang out with this guy.
It's so weird. I have that on written down somewhere. I have all of my old shit, like with unpacking slips and all the weird places you would jot shit down. And it's in a box in my closet. I really want to go through it and fucking and tape it at the Village Underground, the Fat Black. I want to just see if people.
Yeah. Oh wow. Yeah.
I'm sure it won't work. The first joke I ever did on stage, which Adam Ray is Dr. Phil. I did his podcast, and he made me tell it in front of 3,000 people, and did not get a laugh.
Oh.
I was like, yeah. So. NASA released a picture of a black hole. That was just Oprah laying spread eagle.
Ooh, yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. Yeah, zero back then.
Back
then. Right. Zero 2 years ago.
Many years ago, that probably would have gotten
it. No, like it did bomb in 1990.
No, it never got
it's not even a joke. It's just a stupid joke. It didn't work in 1990, and it didn't work in 2025.
I don't think the gravitational pull of her pussy is strong enough.
No, it would actually repel things.
See, that would have gotten a...
Yeah, but I didn't go. I didn't go deep enough into it.
You didn't go into the physics of the whole thing.
No, I didn't. Do you think that? Do you follow quantum computers at all? Do you know anything about them? I've been meaning to ask you because of all the people I know, you're the only one who probably knows something.
I've been like crazy looking into quantum mechanics and thermodynamics and still using AI to ask questions, get some great answers from that. But quantum computing, I don't really know much about.
What are quantum mechanics for AI?
It's crazy. It's the fact that every single thing is made up of atoms and nothing works the way it works out here in this world. It's quite literally magic.
Yeah.
Like everything's magic at that tiny level. Things can exist in two places at once. The fact of why things can't go faster than light. Like all of these things,
I still don't
and they all
they
figured it out. Like years ago, you find out like, oh, this formula was written in 1902. And like who the fuck was it? The brilliant guy that was doing this math formula about planets and atoms and orbits back then. And it is amazing. And it's some of that stuff that you got to kind of do, put aside the real world and what happens in our world. You know, your basic physics thing, I push this, it'll move kind of a thing. Everything on the quantum level is so fucking strange. And until you can throw away everything you know of the real world, you can't really fathom it.
And I've read it, but I can't get it. I can't. My brain isn't mathematical. I can't fucking comprehend. I don't even know what the ones and the zeros. I mean,
yeah, you fucked a bunch of them. You know what they are.
I do.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a one being fucked by a zero.
You certainly don't know what the X's and Y's are either.
Wait, no, she was my ex, and I know why.
Oh, good one, Chip.
Chip. No, that was just was, good-natured.
Oh, good-natured guy.
Yeah, Josh, good-natured.
I hate good-natured guy.
Yeah.
But I can't get it. You know, they say ones and zeros make everything up in the basic.
Yeah, binary code, yeah.
I don't understand what it means, how it translates. People have explained it. My brain won't fucking grab it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that it doesn't matter.
The X's.
No, no. Yeah, who knows? I know my
chromosome joke.
My friend the other day is like, you hear about what's going on with the pyramids? What's your opinion? I go, I don't. What the fuck are you talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, there's a theory that the aliens build the pyramids. Yeah. He's like, there's no way they could have built them back then.
Like, yeah, they go down like 100
times. Yeah,
it's
like, there's no way they could have done that. And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, what, you don't believe? I go, I mean, don't you think the aliens would have built something since? Maybe like a fucking Chick-fil-A or something? They're just going to build the pyramids and go away? They haven't
and
built anything since?
And how about build something out of more than rocks? Like, you really want to say, oh, aliens built that. Build it out of some shit we don't even know what it is.
Right.
Rocks.
They think they figured it out anyway. They think they've kind of figured out how they did it.
Yeah, there
it
were a
was
lot
ingenious,
of ways
but
people could move heavy shit.
Yeah.
With leverage and pulleys and they'd smear grease on the fucking other rock and pull it up.
Yeah.
But people love to over explain conspiracies to get to their point and their agenda. The flat earthers are my favorite. I could listen to flat earth people talk for hours because it's so ridiculous and retarded. And this will probably get a lot of them going, yeah, really? We'll explain this.
Do they think that every boat captain and every pilot is in on it?
They think every pilot that flies planes is in on it. And then they'll look at a flat map and go, how come when people fly to Japan, they take this big curved route? It's like, because it's round.
It's a circle.
It's that's how a circle, the shortest distance on a sphere, if you put it on a flat map, looks like it's an arc and you're going way out of your way. But that the fact that they went that way proves that the world isn't flat. I think 90% of them are just doing it for
trolling
engagement.
And
trolling. They're getting hits.
They like arguing. It's fun to argue.
Right. But there are a certain amount of people that I think they really believe it, and it's a little crazy.
Yeah, just fucking idiots.
I think one of the most telling things that prove that we went to the moon. How do you pull off something like that? Apollo 11. They land on the moon. walk around, get back in, come back, heroes welcome, everything's great. And then they go, let's do that six more times. Like, wouldn't you be like, oh, okay, fuck, we got him. They believed it.
Oh, right. I don't know, though.
Why would you do
first
it?
First time you get away with cheating, you don't go, all right, I'm not going to fuck any more girls. You're like, oh, this is easy. The dumb bitch really thinks I was in the hospital.
Oh, shit. Yeah, all right. So, it's male kind of ego thing.
Well, you think you get away with it. You know
you
the system.
You get away with it.
Yeah, I know how to lie. Like, I just say I was here. I'll tell my friend not to call the house.
And we were in a space race with the Soviet fucking Union. They didn't like us. And even they said we landed on the moon. Wouldn't it be good for them to go, oh, that was all bullshit. Let me show you why. We didn't even pick them up. The telemetry doesn't work out. It was, you know, hey.
They got it.
Put this aside. They got us.
Did you hear the audio? I don't know, it might be fake, but it was picked up by some like ham radio of a Soviet astronaut.
Pork chop radio.
Fucking hold on a second. You know the guy wasn't Jewish. it was a female cosmonaut coming in, and she was saying it's hot in here. Like they said that there was one that they think burned up on reentry.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can hear her talking in Russian, and she's saying it's hot.
Yeah, they were kind of screaming.
Are you able to find that? Do you guys? I don't know if you're able.
I thought it was
to...
one of the dudes.
Was it a guy? I thought it was a woman.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I know they sent women up there, dogs, shit like that.
I want to hear that if they have it.
Yeah, the heat, something fucked up with either the heat shield or they came in a little too steep, and the guy is saying it's hot, things are burning up, and they have a picture of him, like, burnt to a crisp on a table, and there's a bunch of, like, you know, Soviets around him kind of going, hey, what fucking happened here? It's fucked up.
Let me see if they're able to get that. Hold on.
I don't think their safety protocol was
not
important.
As good. No, you were disposable.
The important part to them. Yeah.
Are you guys in the other room? I'm not sure if you can hear us. Are you able to find that? It was the person coming through.
We're looking it up right now.
Okay.
As hero of Soviet Union, a very glorious death.
I think. I thought it was a woman, though. I guess if they find it, we'll play it. But she was like, it's like, you ever see, you remember Lost? Remember the audio they kept hearing of the woman?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what it reminded me
kinda
of.
Kind
of
like that. Yeah. That was a good show for 10 minutes.
It was great until the end. When they ended it, you're like, ugh.
Yeah. Of course.
Did you watch Lost?
You didn't watch Lost.
I'm straight.
I love it. Anytime I do something that, like, so many things you know Jim just doesn't do. And we constantly, everyone goes like, what are you, nine?
Or are you five? I was going to call my latest comedy show, what are you, five?
What are you, five? Yeah. It's funny. What are you, putting fucking ketchup on a hot dog? What are you?
Yeah. I don't even mind a ketchup thing. It just happened on the air.
It was just funny.
Boss was like, yeah, I need some ketchup from my egg white fucking.
Ugh.
Yeah, why disgusting. Are you putting ketchup on there? And that's it just went off on that.
That's on. Disgusting.
Let me see if I can ketchup find out what to Google. Whites. Can you hear it?
That sounds like Anthony's 911 call.
This is a Russian woman.
Russian, yeah. Where was she, in a fucking hurry or something?
Oh, her blinker's on. Dope. No, the red button. What are you doing? You're breaking everything.
She's like, I'm fat. I don't look good in this scene. I'm too fat. He doesn't appreciate what I do around the house. I clean the whole capsule. I don't know. That's the audio, I think. Of her apparently. We don't understand what it's saying.
It's like every phone call with your girlfriend. What? Yeah. What are you? What?
Do you spend a long time on the phone with your girl?
Never. I don't spend a long time on the phone with anybody.
I don't either.
Wait. So when you're in the city and she calls you, how long does the phone?
She knows not to call me.
She'll text, right?
We'll text.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll text. That's it. There's no reason to call for anything, really. You know, family emergency. All right, I'll give it to you. But even that, it's more concise in a text. You could think it out. put down what the issue is, and then I could read over it and go right. back. It's not some fucking crazy shit. I can't bring myself to call this a phone. It's just, I don't use it as a phone. You called me earlier.
I'm yes.
Like, what is this fucking ass? No.
It's weird because some people like that. Like Bonnie and Rich call each other constantly all day.
Oh, it's crazy.
Like probably 10, 15 times a day sometimes when I'm
sounds like a trust
always.
Problem.
They just call each other over stuff.
It just sounds like a trust problem.
You think?
Like you want to know where you are, what you're doing. I want to hear the ambient sound behind
you. She wants to know that Rich is not behind a sofa gnawing through wires.
I would hate that. You know, I just got back from the doctor and it was traffic. You know, like that, those just inane conversations.
Yeah, they're the worst.
You know, boomers are big with phone calls. And me and my brother are like My brother and I
thank you.
Are like 18 months apart in age. And he is boomer. And I'm more whatever came after that, Gen X, whatever it is. Like even though technically I fall into the boomer category. Because I hate phone calls. I love the tech behind everything. And I love digging into computers and shit like that. But I cannot stand phone calls. And my brother will call me. And I'll be like, it's my brother. You got to take the call when it's your brother. And it's literally nothing. It's just nothing.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? Well, I'm on my way to a gig. Let me tell. Oh, I saw this guy the other day that we knew from the. Wait, what are you doing?
Yeah. Always get that. Like, I feel like you're rushing me off the phone. I go, I am.
I am.
Yeah. I am.
Good. I'm glad you noticed.
I leave silence afterwards. Like, it gets awkward. Like, okay, I'm going to get going. Yeah, good. I do that all the time. Like, where are we going with this?
I'm very good at wrapping up quickly. Like, the best thing to do is text somebody and say, hey, I'm gonna call you for a second.
Yeah.
Bob Kelly is a phone caller. Bobby fucking calls. God. And it's like, what?
It's a chick thing.
It's just, he
it's
just
like
likes to be on the phone.
Guys don't call guys.
No, once in a while, send me a quick text. And if you got to talk to me, sometimes it's easier to talk.
Right.
Like, you know, I was dealing with Coke Logic guy today. I should have just called him because it's easier than texting requests for video.
Some things
stuff.
I could see. If it's work, something technical, you can't really do it in a, you need a back and forth dynamic. But just a casual thing, chicks do that.
Because people get, if you say call me when you get a chance, people are like, holy shit, something's going on. I always put, call me when you get a chance, not important.
Not important.
That's
see,
what I write. Yeah. So then
you
can do it whenever
protocol.
The fuck you want. Yeah.
Yep. You know the protocol.
I see, oh, that's different. See, I want them to call. So I'll say, do you know Mike? Cancer. And then they'll call. And then I'll just go, no, I just.
Do you know who would fucking text it like that all the time? Remember
E-Rock? Yeah, the worst.
E-Rock. He'd be like, did you hear? And that's it.
And it was when he tripped and fell in another state.
Did you hear? Yeah, I can hear. I don't have candy in my ears. Try to put it everywhere he can. E-Rock. Yeah, he would do things like that. And you're like, what? Oh, it's about Jim or Joe. You motherfucker, put it.
Tell me.
Text the whole thing.
Yeah, he likes a good teaser. E-Rock likes a good radio teaser in text.
I don't like the teasers.
No, I don't either. Just tell
right
me what
to
you got
to
tell me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll call my wife once in a while and go, hey, I'm going to be home a little late. And she's a FaceTimer. Like, that's, you know, sometimes she doesn't check for text.
Come in your FaceTimer.
I'm going to come in your face, old timer. But I hate it. I'm like, I wrap it up quickly. Yeah. All right, love you. It's on and off in a minute. I can't do a long fucking call to my wife. I just can't. I don't want to.
My stupid ex-wife, one time we're in the house, she gets a phone call, and she hangs up and goes, Anthony, maybe you should sit down. Like, what
she had a fist
insane?
On the chair.
Yeah. The big fucking... she, and I'm like, I instantly, like, panic. I go, what? Just say it. And she said one of my friends that I had known for a while had passed away in a motorcycle accident. Wow. Tragic.
Sure.
You know, but sit down? Like, that's your mother's
She meant
dad.
On a motorcycle. Oh, yeah. Sit down. Have a drink. Rev it up. Fuck the helmet. Don't be a pussy.
Sit down, Danny. Yeah, she told me to sit down. And I'm like, that's for, you know... First of all, that's in movies. Chicks do that in movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real life, you don't say that. And I was like, what are you, a fucking asshole? I thought, you know, my brother or sister had died or something like that. You could sit down.
I got my brother good because my other brother started dating this girl and they started doing all this corny shit that my brother would never do ever. So I call my brother. I go, Joe, I go, you sitting down? I did that. He goes, well, what's going on? I go, you didn't hear? He's like, what? What? I go, Bob's taking salsa lessons.
Oh, no.
He's like, what the fuck?
You almost
gave me a heart attack.
Yeah, you scared the shit out of me.
I go, I'm taking this harder than my divorce. Yeah, my brother, they used to go to concerts and sporting events, is taking salsa lessons.
Salsa? Was he really taking salsa lessons? Oh, boy.
And then when he got married, we had like a fucking 6-camera shoot watching him because they were going to salsa dance during their first song. When I got married, so we had like 6 people filming it from every angle, Jesus, putting the pressure on him. He's like, you motherfuckers, leave me. My brother just wanted just his feet moving. So we got video just his feet moving. Everybody, my son was there. We're all just filming him and shit. He's like, come on, guys, it's my fucking wedding. We go, we have to bust your balls over it. But guys, I got him good with that.
Guys do that sometimes. They hook up and then it's a different guy.
Yeah, doing the shit.
We all do it to an extent.
It was great because Joey Diaz, because his son was complaining. My brother's son was complaining. My dad's never around anymore because they do all the stuff together.
Yeah.
Joey Diaz goes, look, he's getting his ass eaten. Leave him alone. He hasn't his ass eaten in 32 years. Leave him alone.
I guess, yeah.
I go, you know what? That's
way
a good point.
Weigh the good with the bad.
Jim, can you hang out for a few minutes?
We're
going to end the podcast. We just do like an extra 10 minutes for Patreon. Is that cool?
Yeah.
But what do you want to plug before we...
My new comedy special is coming out September 18th, Jersey Trash. And also on the same day, Terrorizing Telemarketers Volume 8 is coming out September 18th. All right. So you can pre-order the shit now.
Well, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, of course.
Awesome. And if you're on Patreon, we're going to keep talking for another 10 minutes. Good. Okay. Yeah, now we'll just chat.
Now we just chat.
It'd be funny if we had nothing to say now. Like, that was the end of it. We just ran out.
Anyway.
Yeah, when you start doing weird stuff, like, I can't think of anything that, like, I've had a woman tell me to do as far as, like, social activity that I normally wouldn't have done. But I probably would have if it would have helped me get laid.
It was guys that wouldn't come out anymore. That was the thing that was most troubling. You know, a friend would hook up with a girl and you'd be like, oh, what are you doing, like, this weekend? You're going out. Oh, yeah, I can't make it. It's like, yeah, he's just with his chick all the time.
Yeah.
And I get it. If you're a young guy, you can hang out with your dopey friends all the time. You know, back then when you were a young guy, you had to really pick your place to get laid. It wasn't like, oh, I have a girlfriend so I could just get laid anytime. There was a time and a place and fucking, you know, shit like that. So I could kind of understand it. But at the time you were like, yeah, he's pussy whipped. He's fucking pussy whipped.
Yeah.
But it's okay though. I mean, if you're doing it just to have sex with somebody when you're younger, but if you're older, how was he at salsa?
Terrible.
Was she Latina or anything?
I had a Latino girlfriend wanted me to do salsa lessons too. I get, please.
Yeah?
No.
Only salsa I'm doing is with chips.
Fuck yeah. Right? Hold on. Dad, go.
Ponch and John.
How crazy is that? I said to Jim before, like, me and him came up with like 2 retarded characters that got pretty big.
Yeah, yeah.
With Chip and Special Ed.
Yeah.
Like, who would have known? Us two creeps.
It's because they're smarter versions of us.
Yeah, I know. They both got bigger than us.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hear anything from him. They just want Special Ed.
I know.
If I died tomorrow, if Chip could live, they'd be happy to kill me off.
Chip has a whole life on the internet.
Yeah.
It's still, if someone says something, they'll be like,
Colin told me, it's one of the fucking, one of the hardest I've ever laughed at a message was Colin left me a message because he was using his fucking credit card somewhere and they said Chip and he called me and goes, you fucking ruined that word.
Yeah,
that ruined the word.
He goes, I can't not.
Right.
Yeah. That and Edgar, like, do you watch The Boys?
No.
it's a superhero.
Oh, right.
It's on Amazon Prime.
It's actually pretty good.
And they're like kind of assholes.
Total fucking.
Yeah, all right.
But I mean, they do.
I haven't seen it, but this, I know
it's a little like progressive in its idea. But they do shit like, you know, the guy lets a plane full of fucking people with kids on it die. Like, they do stuff that you're like, all right,
For me, the McCarthy hearings are progressive.
but it's like they balance it out with like some really great stuff. But there's a character in that, Gus from Giancarlo Esposito's in it.
Oh,
okay. He plays a character named Mr. Edgar. And Mr. Edgar, I know, just probably ruins that for certain people.
Oh,
I can't stop thinking of
Edgar.
Travis. Yeah, I'm sure that he...
You've ruined so many things.
Yeah.
April Fool's is done.
Why? It's fun.
April Fools.
Yeah.
It's just ruined. Every April 1st is like, oh, I got to have this in my head all day.
But yay is also very difficult to get out of your head.
Oh,
Jim
always
predicted that, like, before it even I got the gig on Comedy Central. He's like, this thing is going to be huge, because he'd be in his room and I'd be doing it like in the office. One night, telemarketers would call. He goes, that thing's going to sweep the nation. That's I go, no. Yep. I go, I've been doing this as a kid, just fucking acting like an idiot. He's like, I'm telling you, it's going to go somewhere. A year later, I'm on a TV show doing it.
Because it was funny, but it was also, it was just something about it where you just like, yeah. It was just, you wanted to do it. You wanted to hear someone do it. It's one of the
things
that
you're like. Like a catchphrase kind of a
yeah,
thing.
You yeah, you know that this is going to be.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Is going to grab people because it grabbed me. And again, I was hearing it through fucking a closed door. But yeah, just you in your office. It was so great.
Remember when Bobby Kelly wanted to come up with a character what's his name? Who's the guy?
Billy the Bass Man?
Yeah,
Billy the
Bass Man. Yeah, because it was the Get Her Done.
Oh, like Larry the Cable Guy.
Like Larry
the Cable Guy
had Get Her Done. And Boz was, hey, where are we going? That was like after every joke. He was like, where are we going? That was his catchphrase. It was so fucking.
I came up with a good catchphrase I've been doing on stage.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, I'll say something like, what the hell's going on around here?
I just,
you don't like that?
No. No, I don't. I like my cab ride here better. Holy
a
shit.
A catchphrase.
It's wordy. Yeah. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
And it doesn't sound like, what the hell's going on around here? Like you
say
something
it like that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you can't get over. You're exasperated.
T-shirts and mugs.
Yeah. What the hell's going on around here? It's going to sweep the nation. It is kind of gross.
It's embarrassing.
Sometimes you watch somebody trying to do a thing and you're like, oh, God, you're trying to do a thing.
Yeah. Especially with the internet now.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying so hard to do something and make a noise and, it's embarrassing. There are too many podcasts out there now, which is funny because it's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, but we've been talking for a long time.
Oh,
like,
I know,
us a break.
Right. I know, Jimmy. We get some slack. Cut me some slack. And everybody, because it got to the point where you'd go to Best Buy and you'd see a podcast kit.
Oh,
like, you could just buy it.
And right, the microphone.
Speakers and
all
a microphone and a camera, webcam. It's like, make your own podcast. Like, yeah, this is done. This is kind of fucking done.
Yeah, but
now
the people, when they realize they don't make any money, they stop.
Yeah.
They'll do like 5 or 6 episodes, and they realize they have no 20 people listening. It's all their friends and family. And they think they're going to get all these ads, sponsors, and all that shit, so they go away pretty quick.
Yeah. Every time I think about that, I think about what Adam Carolla said. When people ask him, how do you get a successful podcast? He goes, first thing, be famous.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. You're not going to just buy your podcast kit.
Have you done his show?
I did it years ago out in L.A.
He would love you. You've done Carolla?
Oh, yeah. I just worked with my mom last week in Jersey. Yeah,
he's a good talker, man.
He's amazing.
Like, he can really talk about anything.
He's one of the pioneers.
He's fucking great, yeah.
Now, no one remembers, he put his money where his mouth is defending the podcast format because he was being sued
by a troll
because some guy said that he invented the whole format. The guys sitting at a microphone and talking on the internet.
Something it's episodic. Mine. It was something like that.
But it covered pretty much everybody's podcast.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were just paying this guy off to go away.
Yeah, because it's expensive.
And Carolla said, fuck this, I'm fighting it. Took his money out there, and he won. He won the case, and the guy went away, and it set a precedent for other people that might have wanted to glom on to other people's talents and abilities. So he definitely gets credit for that.
And he also built, he bought like a building out in fucking California.
Yeah,
and
yeah. It's, he got his race studio. Cars in there and
it's
shit.
It's so good, man.
Yeah, because, yeah. You know, he was on regular radio. He was on in L.A. in like four of the markets.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then when they got rid of him, he just went right to podcast. So he already had the name.
It
and
was
all his
perfect.
Fans followed him over there. So he already had the base.
Yeah, he was 5 days a week,
Love
like
lines.
A regular radio show, an
yeah.
hour a day. It's a
yep.
great schedule.
Yeah. No, he's,
a good dude,
well.
Too. And he's
yeah.
funny on stage, too.
Yeah.
I just worked with him last week. Yeah, he's a good dude, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he hired me on Crank Anchors back in, like, 2002, him and Kimmel.
Oh, was that it?
Yeah, so I've known Adam for a long time.
Oh, shit, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good
dude. Did they produce it?
Yeah, it was their show.
Oh, okay.
Is that
Kim
a new
Adams.
Beer?
No,
the same
just
one.
Had that much.
Oh, I was going to say, where did that
no,
come
it's
from?
A new beer.
Oh, where the hell did you keep it?
Yeah, okay. Wouldn't you like to see
some, for a keg
you
to
want
come
some
out?
Champagne too.
I thought you were only supposed to have like one beer a day or something.
Well, that was years ago.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That was the thing. Like when you had the open heart surgery, I thought it was like one drink.
No,
a week or something or a day.
I just when I go out, come here on the weekends, things like that. I used to drink. All the every day.
Well, what did they tell
show.
You after the open heart surgery? Like how much with the alcohol?
My surgeon said like a couple of glasses of wine is okay.
A night or a week or like
a night.
Okay,
you know, a glass of wine with dinner.
Okay,
shit like that. You know, because I'm Italian, I guess you thought.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
Glass of wine.
Hey,
hey. How many people can I whack?
Hey, you gotta.
But yeah, I'm like, you know. What am I going to do?
But they didn't give you a limit. Yeah,
life.
They didn't give
not
you
not fucking. You know, I'm not eating handfuls of lard. I'm fucking.
Yeah.
You know, OE rock. I'm not. I'm. You know, I'm going to live my life and do what I want to do. I've cut back on a lot of things that I used to do.
By the way, that's how you know Anthony's drinking more than he should. When you're like, well, what did they say? He's like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
it is. It does sound like I'm just rationalizing and doing
but
it.
But I get it.
Yeah.
Like, no, I up everything.
Yeah. Could I do bit? Probably.
Sure.
But
yeah, no, because my friend had like double lung transplant. They said
Jesus.
One. Yeah, like one beer
Cigarettes?
A week. One beer. No, he doesn't smoke. He was at one beer a week, and he's like, you know, he didn't listen to that at all right off the bat either.
Is he dead?
No, he's still alive.
See,
yeah.
Okay. Good
He'll
brand.
Only do edibles. He goes, I can't. He goes, I got lungs from some 21-year-old
oh.
that died in a car. So I can't do that. I can't put smoke in my lungs. But I'll
yeah,
do,
yeah.
I'll do edibles. Because
he feels
instead.
Guilty. Like
yeah,
this
yeah.
kid gave me his life.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is the
I'm just checking to
rejection.
See if
Crazy Tony. You know him, Crazy Tony.
Oh, he had double lungs?
Double lung transplant.
When did he get them?
Double
Probably
lungs.
Like 8
double
years
lungs.
Ago.
Puff,
like
puff.
8 years ago. Yeah.
I'm just seeing
that you have to worry about rejection too. He's
yeah,
you got to take anti-rejection drugs and shit like that.
Take them through high school.
You gotta, didn't work, did it?
No, I can't put my glasses on. I have to check for something.
Oh, that looks good.
Oh no,
the glasses. Do you have to wear glasses
no,
to read or anything?
I refuse.
Bye, lucky fuck.
I won't.
Oh,
I'm
you're
fighting it.
You just go
a little bit, know. Yeah. But I just like I don't know.
Yeah.
I have a theory on it.
You do?
Yeah.
I'd like
What's
to hear
your theory?
It.
That you don't need them. Like, I think it's a scam.
It's
on,
a scam.
On some people, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you get them, and then I got reading glass at one point because I went to an eye doctor, and I was like, all right, I got to fucking do this. And after like 3 weeks, I go, you know what? I'm going to stop using them.
Yeah.
And then my eyesight came back. It was fine.
Yeah, I think wearing glasses does fuck your eyes. Your
yeah.
eyes now need
right,
the glasses.
Right, because they need it, so I
but,
just don't. And then at night, I don't have to when I'm driving, I don't need any of that.
Yeah, for distance, I'm fine. It's only reading. Like,
well,
only
I still
got to
go
reading.
Use the flashlight, at, you know, in the menu. And
you got the giant font on your
yeah, I'm like, yeah. I don't know how my wife reads the menu. Like, literally, it's dark in the restaurant, and the letters are
yeah.
small. I'm like, how the fuck are you reading that?
Yeah.
Fucking bat.
Yeah, you know, if like if you're looking at the waitress, you go, I'm out of a shot, you know, and then you put the flashlight on the phone, like I'm out.
Oh, I hold it up though. I'm like I'm gonna really fucking humiliate both of us, and I'll put it on and I'll hold it up like fucking like that to everyone. Yeah, everyone in the restaurant.
You know,
sees
you should get that big square magnifying aids.
Right.
That big square magnifying glass with the light on it.
Right.
Like, let me look at the men and still hold it really far. Oh, the chicks love
they,
that.
That's a real panty dampener.
Oh, like, oh God.
Or the one eyepiece thing, remember?
Oh, yeah,
in?
Yeah.
Like
and
Mr.
then
Peanut.
She can see your dick with it because it's small. Quantum dick.
Hey, get my cubit and put it in your mouth.
old neutrino drink.
I want to do. I have a bunch of jokes I did. It was they're on a CD about UFOs and all that stuff. And certain, but I want to do like a 25 or 30 minute special all about space and physics. Like I wanted, but jokes that only a physicist would get. It would bomb completely in front of a regular.
You've talked with Neil deGrasse Tyson, right?
A bunch, yeah.
And Dr. Kaku, of course. Yeah. One of my favorite stories ever. When you.
And I've told Neil I don't agree with
your building and Dr. Kaku, and we had done a show and interviewed Dr. Michio Kaku. And Jim thought, hey, he remember me?
Yeah.
Did the show. And he goes, Dr. Kaku. And Dr. Kaku's like,
He was so skittish.
He's skittish.
Yeah. We were on the elevator together and I was asking about gravity. Something about gravity. He goes, we just talked 2 hours ago. How do you not?
Hi, if I jump, if the elevator goes down and I jump.
The Empire State Building, I think it was when that plane hit it.
Yeah.
Oh, there was a woman on the elevator and it plunged 80 floors.
Yeah.
But she lived. I think it stopped like on the fourth floor from 84 down to 4. And she actually lived.
Yeah.
And but jumping doesn't help.
Put different fucking things, safety things in place since then. But
you can still fall, though. I mean, when a plane hits it and fucking severs all the cables.
Yeah.
It's called the Governor.
Governor.
That's what will stop the elevator. It expands. And
if it's going down too fast, they'll put like brakes on the side or something.
The Governor for the my friend worked for big elevator repair guy.
Yeah, a plane hit the Empire State Building. Nothing fucking.
It was a small plane.
Damn it. It was a bomber.
Was it?
It was like a World War II bomber type plane.
40s? I think Empire State Building wasn't that old.
No, it
was like 10 years old.
Yeah, it was a bomber plane. No bombs in it or anything, but...
That's what they originally thought hit.
Bricks.
A 9/11 was a small plane that hit.
Yeah,
like that was a, you know, the early reports.
Yeah.
That it was a small plane that hit.
Big Star of David on the tail, but let's not go there. those are people I don't even fuck with.
But that's how I found on 9/11, that was the voice that told me that, Jim, wake up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they attacked. The Twin Towers just fell.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, because we were living in Cliffside Park, like right across, you know, the river in Jersey and stuff. And I got up in the morning. We would sleep in late, you know, going to bed. And I got up for some reason like 9 or maybe it happened like 8:46 or something like that.
I think so,
I got up like 9:05 to go take a piss. And I put Howard Stern on for a second. Let me just see what's going on the show. And like, yeah, man, there's a fire. A plane hit the building. I'm like, holy shit. I started listening. Then I woke up Jim.
Yeah. I was with Ariel, my girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
My car had broken down the night before on 10th Avenue, and they had to tow my car.
Oh, so it was the second most tragic thing that happened.
It really
and
was.
You know what, and I remember that day, that night, like they thought there was a bomb on the George Washington Bridge, and we lived
right near
there, too. Yeah, they thought there was a bomb in there. But I remember we didn't know what to do that night. We went to Blockbuster to go rent the movie. My girlfriend, too, and I have the Blockbuster card, 9/11/01.
Yeah,
because that's when I signed up for Blockbuster that day.
And we went and ate on the pier.
Yeah.
Remember the pier that was, and I remember I called into the show, you and Opie were in Long Island, and you couldn't get in the city.
Yeah.
And I remember talking on the phone, and I wanted to do a gig plug, just like I would always plug my gigs at the worst time, and I was like, it was the one time I refrained from plugging gigs.
Yeah,
I kind of wish I had done it now. I look back on that, and I'm like,
wish you were playing Windows on the World.
But I would have been dead.
Yeah.
the most inappropriate plug was the Patrice Memorial at some church right in Upper West Side or something. Remember? And Voss was hosting it, basically. He's like, God. After the show, I'll have my CDs out front.
Right.
It was like 3 minutes in. I got my CDs.
That is so
Oh, is that at Patrice's wake?
Yeah, remember we did that? It was in a church.
Yeah.
A bunch of, I think you went up and spoke. And
yeah,
a bunch
it was
of
his
people.
Wake.
Yeah.
His wake.
Right,
yeah,
the wake, yeah. But Voss, 3 minutes in, after the show, I got CDs out.
CDs out, perfect.
Yeah, that's
Voss.
I remember fucking calling in and just want, like, no one could get in. And I remember driving her back to New York 3 days later because they closed the bridges and tunnels.
Yeah.
You couldn't enter New York. So that was terrifying. Driving over the GW was fucking horrifying.
We had to go out to Long Island to do the show. When it happened, I was in Brooklyn. I lived on Shore Road in Brooklyn. So I was able to go outside and get a good view of what was going on from Brooklyn. And I couldn't believe what I was saying. And now, you know, I was thinking about what 25 years later would look like. Back then, you know, the first year anniversary, you go, all right, they got the lights and everybody's the reading of the names. And I'm like, I wonder what 25 years later, if we're even going to acknowledge it or anything. And then now, you know, Zoran Mamdani is the fucking mayor. And I don't know.
They still acknowledge it, though. Like, it's still talked about. It still has reverence. I don't know how many years that will last, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like anything else, you know. There's a little news acknowledgement of things like Pearl Harbor every year. But it's not, I'm sure, not like it was when it happened or even 5-10 years after. So it kind of, you know, everything kind of goes, meh. There are so many people alive, adults, that have no clue, that don't even remember it. I'll forget
sometimes that, like, I'll also forget too, like, it's September 11th. Like, I won't even...
Yeah.
I won't even remember it until like later that day. I'll see a tweet or something. Oh, fuck yeah, it is.
Yeah, the town I live in lost a lot of people because there's a lot of commuters going to New York and stuff like that. They had a memorial in my town for it.
There, Jersey and a couple other places down on Long Island, there were, and this was like something you didn't think about, but when you saw the pictures, the park and rides where all the cars were still there because no one came back to pick them up.
Very irresponsible.
I hated the people.
Irresponsible.
There was probably at least 10 people I know that go, I was supposed to be in there.
Oh, everyone
I was
going to be
on an audition. I had an audition, and I was right around there. Yeah, I was like, get the fuck out
Colin
of here.
Had a good joke about that.
He did?
Yeah, I forgot what it exactly
he
was.
He said something like, you know, people who try to marry them, you know, something told me not to go down there. Yeah, the news. The news told you not to go down there.
And he's like, but, you know, I was there for 9/11. He goes, I was at 86th and Broadway.
Yeah.
But
but I was there. I was somehow there.
Everyone, I don't know what it is that compels people to want to be like, I was just there like last month. Yeah, last month.
I know. You try to make yourself close to anything bad that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this is terrible to hope, but whenever I'm on a plane, I always hope that like the next flight after me, it crashes. Jeez. Just so I can tell people like, wow, man, it was almost, I'll have an important story for parties. I'm such a piece of shit. I literally would sacrifice all those lives so I have an
interesting anecdote.
Yeah, lucky me.
Hopefully somebody before your flight is thinking the same thing.
Yes, and you're hoping that I would be fucking plastered into a mountain.
No.
I understand.
Jimmy.
No, it's understandable.
I remember like 10 days after it happened, me and my buddy Chuck went into the city and volunteered, like taking like, you know, bottles of water off a truck or whatever like that. And I'm like, yeah, it's the right thing to do. Nothing was going on. And we wound up, I got 2 numbers that night and Chuck got 3. I'm like, is this wrong?
Out of the rubble? Fucking ghoul?
I got Muhammad Atta's number.
She's probably going to want to comforting.
Muhammad Atta had a 609 area code. That's South Jersey.
What a ghoul.
Yeah. To a clenched fist to pull out a wad. She's lovely. Give her a call. When Dice had that bit. Dice did such a funny bit about looking through the obituaries and going to funerals to try to meet
going
the widow.
Going to a funeral, he goes, I go up to the widow, I go, hey, how you doing? You here with anyone?
You can't spell obituary without bitch.
Harassment that I should fuck it. He had some really funny
and he's like, he goes up to the widow, what are you crying for? You got the whole house to yourself now. It's the greatest thing. You got the whole house to yourself.
Oh, that is great. Oh, that's fucking funny.
I'm just checking if our eldest is here. Hold on.
Ooh. What's up, Jim?
Oh, no. We're good. We got time.
Okay.
Our next guest is on his way.
Oh, goody.
Just a little bit late because the traffic is fucking crazy.
It's fucked. Like I said, it's fucked.
I told him nobody.
They can't do that to New York City.
Yeah. Big Apple.
So Jay's,
Big Apple.
So he's kind of coming in from Jersey.
Yeah, too, and he's got Long Island.
When you got to come across here because they got that stupid thing going on.
Yeah.
And it's like impossible to cross the street. The other thing about New York, and Mamdani's all big on this one too, is New York needs to be affordable for everyone.
That's right.
Why? Like Beverly Hills isn't affordable for everyone. There's other places that aren't affordable. Why is it so important to have New York City affordable for everyone?
Well, I think Beverly Hills should be more affordable.
You think?
Yeah.
Is Beverly Hills even still a place? Or is it still like a big, like...
Every time I go to LA, I look at hotels, and there's some I know that I can't, like... Once in a while, like the Beverly Hilton, it's expensive, but that's a few hundred bucks a night. Like, if you get it in advance, it's not crazy.
If you're used to New York, Every place is cheaper.
How much is a hotel here?
It's $300 a night.
Oh, yeah, that's about what
that
is.
At least.
You could
find, I could find like a Holiday Inn for like $150.
Can you?
Yeah. Aren't you scared of bed bugs at a Holiday Inn?
No.
I'd be more scared of bed bugs at a Holiday Inn or a smaller hotel in New York.
Yeah, yeah. You guys stay in a lot of fucking hotels.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll stay in some shitty ones. Yeah. You don't know. I just book it on like,
and it doesn't
Expedia.
Matter. It's not like
I'm like, whatever, I'm just sleeping here.
But the Beverly Hilton is like $1,100 a night. That's what like Beverly Hilton. It's fucking crazy.
Right.
It's like it's unaffordable.
I took my chick to the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Well, that's the one I mean,
cabanas. The cabanas by the pool and all that shit.
How long?
We were there for 3 nights.
Let me guess. $4,400 for three nights.
It was six. It was two.
6,000?
So $2,000 a night.
No, it was $500 a night, but that was the liquor bill.
With the cabana.
Oh, right.
That was with the cabana.
Oh, you got
by the pool and everything.
You went all out.
Yeah, yeah. And Chris Cornell was there with his family because they were painting his house.
Oh.
And they couldn't
Did he recognize you?
No, but I made a point of letting him know that we were in the pool. And I'm just telling my chick, I was like, I gave her my phone. And I'm like, I don't care what it is. Just keep snapping pictures. So I'm in the pool and I'm like, yeah, we're like posing with Chris Cornell.
Oh, so he's in the background?
No, I was talking with him.
When they were pool. Snapping him. Yeah, yeah.
And she's just, I'm like, dude, we're
Chris,
pals.
Look at that. Wait, is there something on your shoulder?
Exactly.
I remember it was the Trainwreck movie premiere. Me and Jim went to, and LeBron was there, and he was in the corner. We were trying to get a picture with him, but his guys were blocking us, so there's no way we'd get in there. We're like, fuck, we want to get there. And then we're like, you know what, let's just take some pictures with him in the background. So someone was taking a picture of me and Jim, and LeBron was like right there.
Yeah.
And he knew what we were doing. He was just turning his head.
Oh, motherfucker.
He's like, fuck these white guys. You ain't getting a picture with me. Yeah. He knew what we were doing. We're like, it might work okay if he's in the back. Yeah.
You remember Ron Wood? We in the bathroom. We took pictures
him
with
and Keith Richards.
Him and Keith Richards
in the Apollo for McCartney.
Apollo Theater.
Right.
It was McCartney, and I was going in to take a piss. We were going in there to, you know, you had to make sure the hole was still open in the stall.
I know, but it was a very small hole. But your dick fit right through it. Yeah. I only used a screw for this.
And Keith Richards and Ron Wood were in the bathroom.
And we
there.
Took pictures. I got a great picture, and you do too, standing between them. It was like,
wow.
You're the Rolling Stones.
Great
I don't care.
Shot,
they didn't say anything like right
they were like,
in the bathroom.
And I'm like, I just said, come on, you're the Stones.
I'm not taking no for a fucking answer.
They both
we're here in the goddamn bathroom with the Rolling Stones.
And there was a guy like who worked at the Apollo who was in there, but it was empty.
Yeah.
And we followed them. Anthony saw them going. We were sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
And he goes, they're going to the bathroom. And I had already gotten both of them single. Like when they were walking in, I had my camera.
Not in the
everywhere.
Bathroom.
Yeah.
In the bathroom.
It's huge.
Right between. It's a great shot.
Yeah, yeah.
What pros were pictures? I got McCartney.
Oh,
and McCartney doesn't like taking pictures with people.
Yeah.
Really?
At the SiriusXM, Metallica did something out in the Hamptons last year.
Oh, wow.
SiriusXM
cool.
event. And he was there watching them in like a tent. There was like 350 people there. So I was there and he was in the VIP section just watching the show. And I saw him over and I'm like, holy shit. I go, all right, I'm going up to him. And I had my phone ready and everything. I go, hey, Paul, can I get a picture? I'm a big fan. I just
and you're just
it.
Already in the middle of
he
the
didn't
picture.
Fucking have, he didn't say anything.
There's
I
no
go, thanks.
Time.
Thanks. And I walked away.
Oh my
he had
God.
No choice but to take it. I sent it to Jonathan, our former manager. And John's like, how did you get that? He hates taking pictures. I go, he had no choice.
Do you
no
know,
choice.
I got him at Sirius. He was leaving Howard's studio and Travis and Troy came out with me and he had a line of people with him. And I have my camera. I'm like, it's Paul McCartney. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, you have to.
And I just walked up and I had my camera. I'm like, Paul, can I snap a quick picture? I had it ready to go.
He goes, I'd rather take a picture with Mark David Chapman.
He was so nice. He goes, hey, let my guy do it. So I gave it. He gave it to his bodyguard.
This guy was Mark David Chapman.
And he took a picture of me and McCartney, but it's a pretty good picture.
Oh,
but
that's
the
awesome.
Security guy took it. But I had a, it's funny you said that. I had a dream last night. You mentioned on the way, I dreamt that I was walking in London, and I looked over and I saw there was a good looking guy. And he was talking to somebody, and I peeked in, and I realized the guy he was talking to was Mick Jagger.
Oh.
And there was a line of people waiting to get in, but Mick and this guy were in a doorway, and I just knew that they were sexual partners. So I just said, I just said, hey, Mick. And he went, fuck off. And I walked away. That was my dream. I cock blocked Mick Jagger talking to a young twink and told me to go fuck myself. That's what I dream. I don't dream about climbing the mountain or success.
No, right. No.
Being rejected on
what
a cobblestone street.
What a great fucking insight into Jim.
That just reminded me. Because Mick Jagger has turned me down for a picture. He did it in, we were staying in the same hotel. I was in a fucking gym at the, it's on Cannon Drive. I forget what it's called. It was, working out in the yoga studio. And I walk into the gym area. It's just Mick and his trainer. That's it. Two of them. Empty gym. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, can I have a, Mick, can I get a, and he goes, sorry, mate, no photos, because he didn't have makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck off.
Right.
That's what he said to me, but I'm a little embarrassed. I said, I adore you.
Oh, no, not adore.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that is bad.
I adore you.
Oh, I adore you. Who do you have a picture of that was blurry, the blurry one that you were so upset?
Taken by Kevin Hart at the Congress of Racial Equality. Manny would take us every year to these dinners, these speeches.
Yeah.
I got Laura Bush there. It was Charlton Heston. And Kevin was a young comic, 2003. So I had him taking photos for me.
Chuck Heston.
But I didn't know how to fucking, I used AI to clean that one up finally.
I was going to ask you about that. Because, they could kind of clean that up.
It did a good job. It's 80% better.
Yeah.
But we didn't know how to use the flash or the battery. My BB King is blurry and my fucking, Charlton Heston is almost...
Oh, me and Jim would do dry runs. I remember being at, like, Metallica backstage. All right, let's take one. Let's see how it looks. Okay, it looks good right here.
Yeah.
Be positioned. There was some O&A event that we went to, and there was a bunch of celebrities there, and Jim was, in his picture. He had to get a picture with everyone.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember we're just making up. They go, that black guy over there is on fucking NYPD Blue. He's like, who is he?
I
don't know, but he's the main guy. I forget his name. He's like, really? And it was just some, waiter, just some guy hanging out. And Jim's like, can I get a picture? And the guy's like, I guess. We got him, three times that night. That guy's on The Wire.
Oh,
which one? It goes in the new season, whatever.
We took the picture, and I look over, and I just see him laughing.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're just laughing. You know, that guy right there, really?
Just know.
Yeah, he's on
got
this new
me.
Show.
This is Jim. Thanks, brother. This was so much fun, man. I'm
blast,
really happy
man.
You came on.
Always good seeing you
definitely
guys.
Definitely cool hanging out with
you. This is
Mr.
so fun.
Florentine.
The show is really fun, man. So thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.